New indications of what Biden plans to do and undo right away. The Biden transition team has released a list of executive actions planned for today, as soon as the new president is inaugurated. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams got the fresh list and joins us. Rejoining the Paris Climate Accord was expected. What are some other key moves right out of the gate?
Related to COVID, some extensions of several pandemic relief programs like the eviction and foreclosure moratoriums, and also the pause on federal student loan payments and interest. There's also a 100-day masking challenge, which is more like a mandate for federal employees and contractors.
Right, wearing masks. And some things to undo right away?
Biden will end the effort to exclude undocumented immigrants from the census count and also reverse some rollbacks of environmental regulations. But just how quickly some of these things can be undone will depend on how they were done. Susan Dudley is director of George Washington University's Regulatory Studies Center.
So unlike regulations, which take time to write and time to undo, executive orders can be written and revoked with a stroke of a pen. Another thing that the Biden team could do is work with Congress to use the Congressional Review Act to overturn any regulation issued since, we're estimating, August 21st.
There's also a big section on this new list on racial equity, which has some short-term items, but also some forward-looking policies, Kimberly.
Right. That means having every federal agency review their policies and procedures to see how racism and other barriers to access are affecting how the government works, and then to go ahead and fix those issues.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams. Incoming President Biden has nominated Pennsylvania Health Secretary Rachel Levine as Assistant U.S. Secretary of Health. Levine would be the first openly transgender federal official confirmed by the Senate. She would enter a department that has rolled back some key LGBTQ protections. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Back in June, the Health and Human Services Department rolled back an Obama-era rule that protected transgender people from discrimination in healthcare. Georgetown professor Katie Keith says federal courts have ruled against that kind of discrimination. But the Trump administration's actions scared people.
And I think rolling back those explicit protections that the Obama administration had put in place tried to send a signal that discrimination could once again happen.
Transgender people already face challenges accessing healthcare, says Jillian Brandstetter at the National Women's Law Center. She says for many, healthcare is unaffordable.
We are twice as likely to live in poverty. We are three times as likely to be unemployed. And for transgender people of color, these rates are even higher.
Nominating a transgender person to a top role, says Julie Cruza with the advocacy group Family Equality, sends its own signal.
We're going to include everyone.
Cruza says the Biden administration is likely to restore LGBTQ protections from the Obama era. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
The S&P future is up 0.4%. The NASDAQ future is up 0.8%, with a change of presidential administration just over 5 hours away. We're relaunching our Econ Extra Credit project this year. It's one documentary film a month with an Econ Wealth and Poverty or Workplace Culture theme. I invite you to join in. Documentary number one here is called Capital in the 21st Century, based on a seminal book on economic inequality. One key statistic from the film, two-thirds of people in economically advanced countries are poorer than their parents. In the U.S., it's 80%. I found that number's source, and it's lead author James Manyika, director of the McKinsey Global Institute. Welcome.
Thank you, David.
You know, what are some of the broad forces that lead to this?
We know that, for example, we've had the impact of globalization. We know that, for example, technology started to change the workplace. We know that productivity, which has been the long-standing engine for economic growth, doesn't lift up wages as much as it used to.
The original report that you did is 2016. You say the trends continue, but with pandemic, dare I even ask, it must be making things worse.
Oh, so when COVID hit, it sort of exposed these challenges even more. So while everybody is counting the number of unemployed workers, we should really look at a much larger number, which we call kind of vulnerable workers. These are workers who've either been furloughed, laid off, have had their work hours or incomes and wages reduced. And if you look at it that way, David, it's actually about a third of U.S. workers who are vulnerable in that way. And that's a much larger number than just the unemployed. 80% of them are low-income workers. These are workers who earn less than $40,000 a year. And a lot of those workers are disproportionately women and people of color.
So I know we could convene a symposium about the following question, but where might we focus our attention to reimagining an economy where the future for the next generation is not worse?
I think one of those is to reimagine how we make sure that as our economy does well, we don't have the kind of staggering inequality that we have. It's quite striking if you look at the United States that over the last 20 years, if you were in the top two quintiles, this was wonderful. Innovators did well, investors did well. If you had high skill, high wages, you did well. But for the bottom three quintiles, this was mostly miserable because the income inequality was quite staggering. The cost of living for these Americans became unbearable because the cost of housing, education, and healthcare in particular went through the roof. So we have to think about how do we tackle these vastly unequal outcomes that we have in the way our economy works.
James Manyika is chairman and director of the McKinsey Global Institute. Dr. Manyika, thank you so much for this.
Well, thank you very much, David, for having me.
I'm watching A Documentary a Month on a marketplace subject, and I invite you to learn along with me. This month, it's Capital in the 21st Century, available for streaming on free and paid services. Sign up for the Econ Extra Credit newsletter, marketplace.org/newsletters. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.